If Christianity is not a revealed religion, then it is a false religion. In many ways, this claim is both unintelligible and offensive to the postmodern mind. But the reality of divine revelation goes to the very heart of our faith, and so is central to the ways in which we order our lives as disciples of the Lord Jesus and proclaim his gospel to others. And that is why we must reckon with this affirmation. If Christianity is not a revealed religion, then it is a false religion. St. Paul touches on this point in his instruction to young Bishop Timothy, found in today's second lesson. Remain faithful to what you have learned and believed, because you know from whom you learned it, and that from infancy you have known the sacred scriptures, which are capable of giving you wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Remember that when Paul or any other person in the New Testament speaks about the sacred scriptures, they mean what we call the texts of the Old Testament. And so here we must add a new declaration about divine revelation to the one with which we began. Not only is Christianity a false religion unless it is a revealed religion, but Christianity is also a false religion if Judaism is not a revealed religion. By revealed religion, we mean a way of believing, praying, and living brought into being by God himself rather than by man. And yet this second sense of religion as a human artifact, an artifact of myth, ritual, and moral code, is what the postmodern mind thinks all religions are. Hinduism, Buddhism, Taoism, Shintoism, Islam, and the pantheons of Egypt, Babylon, Greece, Rome, and North mythology are all examples of human efforts to explain the mystery of existence and give meaning to our suffering and hope to our mortality. But Judaism and Christianity are different. They are not man's search for God, they are God's search for man. In other words, Judaism and Christianity alone are revealed religions. And so Christians regard all the books of the Holy Bible as the true word of God. For as St. Paul explains next to Timothy, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for refutation, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the one who belongs to God may be competent, equipped for every good work. Now, another way of saying that the sacred scriptures are inspired by God is to say that they are God-breathed. And here we remember that in Hebrew and Greek, one word means both breath and spirit. The same spirit or breath of God who moved over the waters at the dawn of creation and brought forth life also breathed into Adam and Eve and endowed them not just with life, but with the spiritual reason, which makes us like God and gives us the capacity for words and for his eternal word. This is the same spirit given by Christ to his apostles on the day of resurrection and again at Pentecost to teach us all truth. And this same spirit moved in the hearts and minds of the inspired authors of the books of the Bible so that what was committed to writing is, while given in human words, also truly the Word of God. The Second Vatican Council explained divine inspiration this way. The Church, relying on the belief of the apostles, holds that the books of both the Old and New Testaments, in their entirety, with all their parts, are sacred and canonical, because written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, they have God as their author and have been handed on as such to the Church herself. And then the Council concludes, therefore, since everything asserted by the inspired authors or sacred writers must be held to be asserted by the Holy Spirit, it follows that the books of Scripture must be acknowledged as teaching solidly, faithfully, and without error that truth which God wanted put into sacred writings for the sake of salvation. And this is what our Protestant friends often find most surprising about the Catholic Church. We do believe that the Holy Bible is inspired by God and contains no errors in any matter of salvation, a doctrine usually called inerrancy. Moreover, as our gospel acclamation from the letter to the Hebrews proclaims today, the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So, Catholics are, in fact, Bible Christians. We just aren't Bible alone Christians. And Catholics are not Bible alone Christians because the Protestant idea of sola scriptura, or scripture alone, is, well, unscriptural and profoundly ahistorical. Only together do the sacred scriptures and the apostolic teaching commanded by Christ constitute a single divine deposit of faith which guarantees the transmission of the gospel without addition or subtraction across all the ages of the world until the end of days. And that transmission of the gospel is itself a work of the Holy Spirit acting in the church through the apostolic succession in the College of Bishops. And this is why the sacred scriptures, the apostolic tradition, and the church's magisterium or teaching office exercised by the College of Bishops with and under its head, the Bishop of Rome, are united by the Holy Spirit in such a way that we can receive the gospel with the obedience of faith through life-changing trust in the living God who reveals himself to us in his divine word, the eternal word, the incarnate word, and the written word. So Christianity is a revealed religion, just as was Judaism before it. And the gospel is therefore not the result of human wisdom based on our discoveries or experiences. Rather, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation for all who have faith, because it is the supernatural gift of divine revelation given by the Word of God. And that is why St. Paul wrote to Bishop Timothy, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, proclaim the word. Be persistent, whether it is convenient or inconvenient. Convince, reprimand, encourage through all patience and teaching." And this charge is given not just to bishops, but to all the baptized. Proclaim the word of God. This we do by our words, but even more by our lives. And we are all responsible for the evangelization of the whole human race. In 1926, Pope Pius XI decreed that each year on the penultimate Sunday of October, the Church would keep a day dedicated to world missions to remind all Catholics of our shared responsibility to promote the spread of the gospel in every possible way. We can and should support missionary work with our financial gifts. But even more, we must seek to live as faithful disciples and loving friends of the Lord Jesus, and so bear witness to everyone we meet that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that him alone is found salvation. And one essential way of bearing witness to Christ is to study Holy Scripture, to pray with Holy Scripture, and to immerse our minds and hearts in Holy Scripture, and so fulfill the teaching of St. Paul to the Romans that the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. One of the best ways to immerse ourselves in the Scriptures is to pray the Liturgy of the Hours each day. The psalms, canticles, and readings of the divine office unfold the God-breathed scriptures for us in a way that sanctifies time and unites us both to the entire church around the world and to the altar of sacrifice throughout the day, to the praise and glory of God. There are many ways to pray the Liturgy of the Hours, with printed books, apps, and resources online. So pick any one of them, and then lift up your heart to the throne of grace to find mercy and the strength needed to bear witness to our divine Savior and his holy gospel. As Christ the Lord ascended in glory to God the Father, he commanded us, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Friends, on this World Mission Sunday, we are called by our baptism to fulfill the Great Commission and to heed the instruction of St. Paul. Remain faithful to what you have learned and believed, because you know from whom you have learned it, and that from infancy you have known the sacred scriptures, which are capable of giving you wisdom, wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.